And we see Jesus trying to answer his disciples' questions, like, tell us when these things will happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And talk about loaded questions. And so they were saying this because Jesus had just come down off of leaving the temple from an intense conversation with the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites and sons of hell. But Jesus was grieving. It says in verse 37 of chapter 23, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." Can you sense the grief, the heaviness? Because he knew they were going to harden their hearts. He knew. The rest of that verse goes, "And now look, your house is abandoned and desolate. For I tell you this, you will never see me again until you say, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord." So Jesus was heartsick over his chosen people. He had just tried to persuade the Pharisees into seeing their hypocrisy, but he also knew they would never see. And so this is where we launch into chapter 24. So, now let's pick it up there. If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 24 of Matthew. It says, his disciples came up to him, and they're trying to distract him at this point. Like, look at the temple, look at all these buildings. And Jesus was oblivious. Not oblivious, he was obviously not in the mood for their little distraction. Eternity was on his heart. And then he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? I tell you, not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down." And it was that started the conversation and all the questions. Later on, when Jesus was alone with his disciples, they started pestering him. He proceeds to tell them about the destruction of the temple in AD 70. What's interesting is the book of Matthew was written in AD 70-ish. And what's also interesting to note is during that siege of Jerusalem, the disciples and the body of Christ, the followers of Jesus, heeded his warning in that prophecy about the destruction of the temple, and he said to flee. And so they did. They did not go up to their roof or come down from their roof to grab anything, and they took off. And they ran to a town called Pella in the Transjordan. Not one of those believers was lost in that siege. However, approximately 1 million Jews were killed that day. Now, I want to talk about us being ready for his coming. I know some of you were told that you didn't have to worry about the end times because you're going to be raptured out before any tribulation would befall us. I got some bad news. I want us to look at verse 30 through 33 of chapter 24. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones, that's us, from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth, and heaven. Notice here that this is not a secret event. Everyone will see him, and he will send out angels with a trumpet call to gather us, his chosen ones, from even the farthest ends of the earth. This is the rapture. Woohoo! That's a good thing. It keeps going. Now, learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, what do we know? Summer is near, right? In the same way, when you see all these things being what was up in the first part of chapter 24, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. In verse 30, we see an event that no one will miss. And in verse 31, we see him sending out his angels with a mighty blast of a trumpet and gather all of us up from all over the world. Now, some have claimed that Jesus was talking about the Jews and that the church at this point had already been raptured. Okay, show me where. Show me where. It doesn't say that. Now, we see twice in this chapter and one that we just read. And right before that in verse 27, that his second coming is going to be seen. Let's look at verse 27. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. For as lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures shows us there's a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate the end is near. So here again, we see that his coming is something everyone can see. Have you ever seen lightning? I mean, I like to watch storms. So yes, I'm going to sit and watch a storm because I like the lightning. But I don't know how many times lightning scared the bejeebers out of me. How about you? You weren't looking for it, but boom! Yeah, the second coming is going to be way, way bigger. Way bigger. And brighter. But I want to make a note about something else before we go on to 25. In chapter 24, and twice in 24, and in again in chapter 25, it says, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And again in verse 42, it says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. So we know from this that we're not going to know the day or the time of day when Jesus is coming back. But Jesus is giving us signs to show it's near. Some people have taken this to mean that we can't possibly know the time frame of his coming. I dare to disagree with you. Jesus told us to look for the signs. He doesn't want his church to be taken by surprise. And also, we will be coming to the end of the great tribulation. And he wants to give us hope. He wants us, when we see these signs, we know it's very soon. Hang in there. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. He's getting ready to rescue us from the evil one and all the crap we've put up with through the tribulation. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. You guys asleep out there? I know these guys are awake, but what about you? So, now we're going to get into chapter 25. Chapter 25 is really, really important because it's on the heels of 24, which Jesus is telling us to watch for signs. This is what's going to happen. Stay alert. Be watching, right? Well, then we have the parable of the 10 virgins. And then we have faith. And then we have the parable of the sheep and goats. I wondered what he was trying to tell me when he spoke to me as I was waking up. So, oops, I forgot my Bible. Does anyone have a New Living Translation?
Yeah, I'm grabbing it right.
You know what? Never mind. I'm going to use my phone because it has the translation I want. Sorry about that, guys. I told myself, don't leave your Bible home this morning. I'm getting old. I don't even listen to myself. Okay, give me just a second here. I'm going to switch this to... Great, I don't even have it in this one. I'll take it. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. I am praying this is not King James. Okay. Okay, this is great. I can't read a word of it.
Perfect.
Uh-oh. That's all right, preach it.
No, I could probably, huh? I wanted to kind of read it so you could hear it in its context. Okay. Chapter 25, Parable of the 10 Bridesmaids. And the kingdom of heaven, 10 bridesmaids, who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps. Oil has always been representative of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Just keep that in mind. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. And then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, notice they weren't codependent here, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." But he called back, and these words I never, never want to hear. "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." There it is again. There it is again. Keep watch. So, in this, we see five foolish bridesmaids, or virgins, some King James have virgin, do not have enough oil to get them to the time of the bridegroom. What does that mean for us today? How many of you have been afraid of being baptized in the Holy Spirit because you'll seem foolish by speaking in a language you don't know? That's our selfish nature. But we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. Our spirits are made alive, and now we can commune with God the Father through the Holy Spirit living within us. However, Jesus sent his disciples to Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Father. This promise was awesome. They were going to need it because they were going to start the church. Yeah. And guys, that hasn't changed. We aren't starting the church, but we are continuing the church by reaching those who don't know the good news. Yeah, that God loves them and that he's died for them so that they can be made right with him. Our sins are washed as white as snow. But guys, we need that power. And these five foolish virgins, they weren't being filled up. See, I believe that when they went looking for oil, they didn't find it. And by the time they got back, it was daylight. Well, we don't need it. Ha, ha, ha. But they went back and they were yelling, "Let me in, let me in." Guys, we never want to hear Jesus say, "I don't know you. I don't know you." Are there more terrifying words than that? We have the admonition again to keep watch because we don't know the day or the hour when he's coming, but we do know he's coming. And if you look at the signs that he's given us, I'm sorry, guys, but it's like soon. Yeah. It's soon. So we got to keep our eyes open and keep watch and stay filled with the Spirit. Okay, the next one is the parable of faithful servants. All righty. This one says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. I need to get his phone number. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now get this. It says, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used their money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more bags and said, "Master, you gave me the 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have 5 more. The master was full of praise. "You have been handling this, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward. "You gave me 2 bags of silver. I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Those are the words I want to hear, by the way. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Yeah. I want to hear that. Yeah. Let's party. Yeah. Then the servant with the bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid," that's a key word there, afraid, "I would lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back," shaking the dirt off of it. But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest off of it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given to them, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Whoops. Now, I wanted you to note there that Jesus, this says here that the master was gone for a long time. So us in the 21st century think Jesus has been gone for a long time, yeah. Don't we? Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that. But all this means is that we have time to build the kingdom. Yeah. That's all it means. And for Jesus to use our time and talents that he's given us to wisely produce what we can. We all want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You see, we are training right now to rule and reign with him. He's training us in righteousness. What we learn in this life will help us in the life after, where we will rule and reign with him. This parable is about not wasting what God's entrusted to you. And notice that it's in light of his second coming. All the more as we see the day approaching, huh? God expects us to use the gifts he's given us. Not to go hide them, save them for later. No, we are to be operating in them today. Amen. See, it didn't bode well for that wicked and lazy servant. He thought he was being so clever by burying that money. Yeah. What he did have, the master took away from him and gave to somebody who was using their talents and abilities. But this is the part that's not good. It says, he sent him away into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so that's kind of like, well, not kind of like, that's hell. There is no light, because God is light. And God's not going to force anyone into heaven who doesn't want to be there. Yes. Now, God made hell for the devil and his angels, right? But that's the only place that we can go if we don't want to be with God. And that place is not good. Has anyone ever been up to the Tipinogos Caves and you're standing in there and they turn the lights out? And oh my gosh, you think you're going to suffocate? Even though 2 seconds before you were seeing this wide open cavern. But all of a sudden, that blackness, that darkness, there is no light in there. Hell's worse than that. Yeah. And you know what it means to gnash your teeth? How many of you, when you've been in so much pain, just go, ah! Yeah. Right? That's gnashing of your teeth. And weeping. Weeping. Okay, so who is this wicked and lazy servant? This is somebody who pretends. They're a poser. They come to church on Sunday, and they act all pious. I'm a good little Christian. And then the next day, they're out cussing and drinking like a sailor with the best buds at work. They see somebody in need and they kick them or they move along. Don't even look at them. You can't fake it till you make it in the kingdom. You can't. You don't get any brownie points for showing up here on Sundays or even giving offering or even helping in hospitality. God knows we need that help. That doesn't get you anywhere with God. What he wants is someone who loves him because he first loved us. He wants us to receive the forgiveness that he gave his life to purchase us. So, are you deceiving yourself today? Are you living and acting like a Christian on Sunday and like the world on Monday? God's not deceived by you. Get yourself right with God today. Okay, we're going to look at the last parable, sheep and the goats. This is about the final judgment. All right. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. This chapter so flies. Do you see a theme in these parables? It's all about people pretending. Five foolish bridesmaids, one wicked, lazy servant, goats who couldn't be bothered to help anyone. You see, when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, we can't help but do the good work in front of us. We can't, because he's speaking to us continually, and he's putting people in our path all the time. And I can tell you stories of the times that I've obeyed the Lord and helped somebody, and they've been blessed, and they were like, "Oh my goodness, I didn't think God even saw me." Yeah. Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees me. But when you are not born again, when you have not received that forgiveness that God has purchased for you and believed on him to save you from your sins. Because see, that's the only thing we do to be saved is to believe. That's the only thing he requires of us, is to believe. But when you don't believe, when you pretend, oh, I'll just go to church, everybody, oh, they'll all think I'm so great. Well, I'm not deceived by you. As a pastor, we can spot you a mile away. But you're deceiving yourself. And I don't know why God wanted me to preach this today. I kind of questioned him, but I know better. And so I just started reading the Bible. But if you're here today and you've never really embraced the forgiveness that God has for you, today is the day of your salvation. That's what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Call to him while he's near. Amen. He hears you. He's waiting for you because he loves you. Stephen, where are you? Why don't you come on up? So if this sermon has convicted you of your sin, of not being fully committed to Jesus and dying to yourself, I want you to come up for prayer. We're going to have our prayer team here. Prayer team, come on up. Jesus is waiting for you. He's waiting with outstretched arms. These parables were to cause us to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves. And maybe we need to repent. Or maybe we just need to first and foremost accept our forgiveness that he's purchased for us. Woe to those who harden your heart today. Yeah. Jesus is coming soon, but another thing is we don't know the last day we have on earth. Our expiration date's on the bottom of our foot. I always try to say that. But you don't know. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Are you? You can walk out of here and be gone. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Accept what he's given to you. And if you've not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and get your prayer language, ask for it. I'll pray with you. You need that power. You need that power in these last days. So if you need prayer, I'm going to pray for all of us right now, but if you need prayer, please form a line or go sit here and wait for somebody to be available for you, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you that you died to save us. Thank you, Jesus. You were telling us in this Matthew 24 and 25, you were telling us your heart was for us. You had eternity on your mind as you're teaching your disciples these things. God, help us to be a faithful disciple. Help us, Jesus, to be filled with your Spirit and to watch for your coming. Help us to watch for your coming, Lord. Give us hope as we see these signs happening. I pray for each person here today, God, that you would empower them and that they would be able to go out and do what you've called them to do and to be who you've called them to be by your grace. And I ask it in the powerful, strong name of Jesus. And we all said, amen.